Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be talking with actress Jen Lilly, who you'll know from her work on Days of Our Lives and several movies on the Hallmark Channel. Jen and her husband recently became foster parents, so we're going to talk about that experience, along with the Christian faith that guides her life and work. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is actress Jen Lilly. Jen got her break in show business when she was cast as Maxie Jones on General Hospital and later as Teresa Donovan on Days of Our Lives. Since then, she's gone on to star in several Hallmark Channel movies, the latest of which is called Harvest Love. But as a woman with a deep Christian faith, there's a lot more to Jen's life than acting. She's devoted to numerous charities that fight child abuse, child prostitution, and human trafficking. And she and her husband Jason became foster parents in 2016 because they wanted to share their love with a child in need. To tell us more about her life and her work, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Jen Lilly. Hey, Jen, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
I'm so happy to be here. Via telephone.
That's exactly. Now, we're going to talk about your Hallmark Channel movie, Harvest Love, in a little bit. But I want to start with the fact that I was on the charity page of your website, which is jenlilly.com, and you have a huge heart for kids, for causes about children, and specifically for foster parenting, since you and your husband, Jason, became a foster parents yourself in 2016. Where does that concern for children in vulnerable circumstances stem from in your life? Did you see it modeled by family or friends or in your surroundings at some point?
I did, but the root cause, you know, the root heart of it all is James 1:27. It says, pure religion that's undefiled before the Lord is this, caring for orphans and widows in their distress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my dad and mom have just recently retired, which I'm very happy about, but my dad was a judge and my mom was a director of a women and children's charity, which was called Crisis Pregnancy Center. It's gone through several names, but basically it's the opposite of Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
Where, you know, they basically set before these young girls, hey, these are your options. You know, you don't have to abort. And if you have aborted a child, you're not alone. And let's get you some post-counseling, because what most people don't realize, and this has nothing to do with foster children. Well, actually it does, because most foster children before the age of 16, if you were in foster care, you were 600 times more likely to have a teen pregnancy.
Wow.
And so most, you know, so anyway, people who have aborted, this is, if anybody's listening, they've aborted a baby, they know that the psychological damage that goes along with that after the fact is devastating. And nobody really addresses that in the world. And that's, you know, if you take that outside of Jesus and people who don't have faith, you're still devastated.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom and dad were very people conscious, you know, people who raised me. And our home, however, because of their job, was never legally licensed. So we were a safe house, but they were not technically foster parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I always had someone kind of living with me in our household that we were helping out. And so it stems from that for me. But the root cause is just James 1:27 and all throughout scripture, you know, Jesus says, come to me like a little child. And the disciples say, who is the greatest among in the kingdom? And Jesus calls a little child over and says, you know, be like these and you will see heaven. And so for me, that's the root. And then getting into foster care, just to throw out a couple more stats that I love. Here's the deal. As a Christian, I think that it is absolutely our responsibility to take care of orphans in their distress. And not all foster children are orphans, but they are children who have been abused and neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening in our society is that most foster homes are such horrible places. Children go from abuse and neglect into being abused and neglected by strangers, because the strangers,
mm-hmm.
the licensed foster parents, are doing it for money. You get a monthly stipend, which if you're a good foster parent, basically doesn't even cover the cost of them. You know, like
yeah.
it helps,
uh-huh.
but it doesn't cover it. And the statistics is that 90% of the people in the United States, and I don't know if this is the world, I do know this is the United States statistics, are 90% of people who have been human trafficked
mm-hmm.
or trafficked into labor law or sex trade, 80% of our inmates in prison or jail and 50% of our homeless population, they've all had a touch with foster care. And so my belief, and it's backed up by lots of scripture, is that if you can remediate and love on a child in their childhood, then you're going to really be able to dismantle a lot of demonic strongholds that child might have over their life that would carry into adulthood. So mm-hmm. It is my absolute pleasure, privilege, and honor to be a foster parent, and that's how I got into it.
Well, that is an impressive story. I am talking to Jen Lilly. You'll know her from playing Maxie Jones on General Hospital, Teresa Donovan on Days of Our Lives, from the Hallmark movies A Dash of Love, Eat, Play, Love, and the upcoming Harvest Love. But right now we're talking about her huge heart for kids, especially the topic of foster parenting and her involvement with a charity called Child Help USA, whose website is childhelp.org. And again, what you just said kind of reinforced why I wanted you on this show. You're not just a person who lends your name to a good cause. You know your stuff. You are fully invested. So tell me, how did you get connected with Child Help and why?
It's such a great story. To keep it brief, basically because, like you just said, I do research of every charity that I endorse and get behind. And that's because in Proverbs it says, you know, really, you only have your name. So you shouldn't just lend your name willy-nilly to these charities that anyone can form a 501(c), which is the tax code for charity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of charities are deceptive and they're skimming the money off for their own cause. So I got involved with another charity called the Innocent Justice Foundation. Gosh, back in 2011, so 6 years ago, I was really into water charities, like charitywater.org and Thirst Project and all of these amazing charities that I still support. And they're building water all over the world for people who do not have water. And I can go on and on about that as well. But I was raising a lot of money for that, a lot of awareness for the water charities. And one day the Holy Spirit in prayer really hit me and was like, you know, we always say, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, send me. And the Lord's answer to that is like, I sent you where you are. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a foreign nation. And that's not to condemn anybody, because some people do have Africa or Asia or some other place on their heart. And that is Holy Spirit driven. I'm not stomping on that. But at the same time, where you are, that is your field. And so the Holy Spirit was like, why don't you look at, you know, your own neighborhood? Like, who in your own neighborhood actually needs help? So I was like, oh, man, that's a sobering thought. So I started researching these charities, and I came across the Innocent Justice Foundation. And what they do is they go after child pornographers, which is a very unfriendly topic. Nobody wants to address it. Mm-hmm. But the United States is the number one exporter. So we produce child pornography in this country, and we're the number one supplier of child pornography in the world. And that's a really heavy statistic.
I had never heard that.
So I go on their website. Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, it's devastating. The average victim is under the age of 4. I mean, it's unreal. So I start going onto their website, and I'm reading these statistics, and I stumbled upon Innocent Justice Foundation by looking at Charity Navigator, because they came up as, like, all their financials were good, what they stood for was good. And I remember being in my office, my home office, and just weeping, like, could not get past the second paragraph. And the reason I can say it, like, sputter it off now is because it's not that I'm immune to it, but I'm doing something about it.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in my office just weeping before the Lord, like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, how is no one talking about this? How does nobody know that this is what's going on in the United States? And so I started getting behind that. And I went through several publicists, because everybody wants celebrities to talk about, you know, let's talk about shelter animals and things that God loves. And we do need to take care of our animals. But for mm-hmm. me, people are always God's first priority. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I'm going to shed sunlight on that, because nobody's talking about it and I'm not afraid. So I started talking about that. I go through several publicists that are like, no, you can't talk about that. And I was like, okay, well, you can either get me behind me on that or you're fired. I'm sorry, but that's who I am.
Well, good for you.
I'm God's mouthpiece, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Child Help calls me, and they call my publicist, and they're like, hey, we would love for Jen Lilly to be a Child Help ambassador, because she's clearly not afraid to talk about, like, these massive childhood issues. And if you're not afraid to talk about child pornography, you're definitely not afraid to talk about child abuse,
yeah,
which is horrible, but mm-hmm. like not,
yes,
not the same, you know, like,
yes, exactly.
A little less severe. So I told my publicist, I was like, I don't know who these people are. You're going to have to get me their rap sheet. Tell them I want to see their tax returns for the last 4 years. You know, so then I start researching Child Help, and it turns out that they're like, They've been around for 60 years, and they've rescued 11 million children.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the most legitimate charity. Like, they are the be-all, end-all of child abuse charities. So I heavily got involved with them and laughed. I mean, their financials are out of control. Mm-hmm. They're so responsible. The founders, Sarah and Yvonne, are awesome Christian ladies, spirit-filled Christian ladies. I mean, amazing. And that's not, like...
Yeah.
That's not known because they're 501c, but I'm telling you, they're incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And their website says, like, 89 cents of every dollar goes toward the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the truth is, it's like 93 cents. And so I said to them, hey, Sarah, Yvonne, why don't you put, like, 93%, you know, on the website? And I remember Yvonne goes, oh, because, you know, just in case we have a bad year, we wouldn't want to put out false information.
Aww.
And so to me, it's like, that's just how legit their charity is. So that's how I got involved with them. And then my husband and I became, they have like a mentoring program. Child Help House villages. They're in Kentucky, Virginia, and California. And these villages are basically for the children who have been so abused and so neglected in the United States that the government renders them unrehabilitable. I mean, they're at their last stop before they go into juvenile hall. And I'm talking juvenile hall at, like, 8 years old, right? Like,
wow.
The United States says that's it. These kids are so damaged. They're going to be criminals, and there's nothing we can do about them. And Sarah and Yvonne were like, well, that's not really the message of our Lord. That's not what God teaches. You know, we're a new creation. We died to our old self. So they rehabilitate these children. They get five forms of fit therapy at these villages that they live in. They send these children to the villages. And they get art therapy, regular verbal therapy, gardening therapy, animal therapy. Oh, and I can never remember the last form of therapy. They get five forms of therapy a day until they're better. And these children go on to become, like, teachers and senators and amazing people. And they have a program called Special Friends, which is essentially Big Brothers, Big Sisters for everybody else who knows the term.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I got involved in that, fell in love with one of our special friends, wanted to foster her, and that's how we fell into foster care. So, I'm always long-winded, but hopefully thorough and to the point. That's how I got involved with them.
Well, no, that is an impressive answer. I am talking to Jen Lilly. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I feel like I should dub Jen Wonder Woman because she has the energy to save the world, and she's doing a lot of it with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father by her side. Well, let me segue, since we're talking about parenthood, to your Hallmark Channel movie, Harvest Love, which it premieres Saturday, September 30th at 9, 8 Central, because this is a movie in which you play a mom. Is this the first time you're playing a mom on screen, or have you done that before?
I want to say that it is. I mean, maybe I've been pregnant before.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never been a mom of a child that's been born. So it was really, you know, in vanity, it was really like, oh my God, like, I'm old enough to play a mom now. That's so insulting, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? But I'm from Virginia, so it's right. Like, totally could have a kid. You know?
Well, tell us about the story of Harvest Love and what you liked about your role as Luna Gilson.
Gosh, there's so much I love about it. So Luna Gilson, my character, she is recently widowed. It's vague how recent. I assume it's been a year and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
She's been widowed, loved her husband, Philip, which, fun fact, is played in photos by my real husband, which is a little morbid but awesome.
Okay.
Gave me, like, a lot to work with as an actor because I would look at his photo and be like, oh, my God, if Jason died, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
But so she's recently widowed. She, instead of focusing on her son and really looking at what she has in life that's left and getting a more accurate perception of how fleeting life is, she throws herself into her work, which is what a lot of us do. I mean, I don't know that maybe that's what I would do. I'm a workaholic. So she buries herself into her work, and her relationship with her son kind of falls by the wayside naturally, as it would. And so one day, you know, she's just getting worked into the ground. She wants a promotion. She's a doctor. She's a very young surgeon. And she's speaking to her mom, who is basically, her mom and dad are, like, abroad, basically being Doctors Without Borders, and they FaceTime every day, and her mom's like, you know what, why don't you take Andy, that's my son, fall break, and go up to the family farm. And, of course, Luna's like, you know, my kid's a millennial, mom, like, you're not going to want to go to a farm, like, that's whatever. So she thinks about it, she mulls it over, and more she just starts to realize, like, wow, work is not as important as my child. Mm-hmm. And I know that because my husband died. Like, relationships are everything at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So she goes out to the farm with her son. She runs into Will, the farmhand, played by Ryan Pavey, who is incredible and wonderful. You know, they have a traditional rom-com run-in where they don't know who each other are, and so they immediately kind of hate each other.
Uh-huh.
And then they find out, oh, you're the owner of the farm's daughter. Oh, you're the farmhand that I've heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, romance blossoms, but it's done so tactfully. It's mm-hmm. done with an awareness of Philip, her husband, who's died. And it's giving a shot like young widows deserve that. I mean, that's biblical. Paul talks about that, where she falls in love, you know, and she gives herself permission to fall in love, and Andy has father figure restored to him. So it's a really beautiful movie. I love so many things about it. I love that Luna is smart. I love that she's independent. And I love that she's wise, you know. She's not just this fleeting young girl that is carried away by her emotions, but she's really thinking with right perspective. So I love that about it.
Yeah.
It's funny. And
yeah.
I love Hallmark. I mean, who doesn't love Hallmark, you know, especially with all that's going on in the world. It's the best time to sit down, watch Hallmark with your family, and, you know, feel like there is still some human decency in the world.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a Washington Post article recently making the rounds about how Hallmark Channel's ratings have been booming lately, because that's essentially what they're, you know, what they're providing for viewers.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want more stress. Yeah. We want nice TV.
Exactly. And for you as an actress, I'm sure that's got to be edifying, especially as a Christian actress, because, you know, Jesus taught through stories, through parables a lot. And what you just, the way you just described Harvest Love, you know, it is a parable of sorts to show people, you know, watching, maybe if they're too busy, if they're workaholics, they should make time for their families a little more. So as an
yes.
actress, does that affirm what you're doing in your career choice?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I absolutely love it, especially as a Christian. It's so nice to be able to do these movies, yeah, that do uplift people. But to clarify, at the same time, when I play characters like Teresa Donovan,
mm-hmm.
If we can go into that for just a second.
Sure.
So when I got the audition for Teresa Donovan on Days of Our Lives, first of all, I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do another soap. It was the last thing I wanted to do. Soaps are grueling. You shoot like 11 to 13 episodes a week. There's no teleprompters. You're doing like 45 pages a night you have to memorize. And in general, soaps are pretty filthy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not like pristine stories. They might have uplifting messages in the end, but, like, there's some smut in there. And
mm-hmm.
I remember being like, I don't want to do this. I just want to do comedy. I really want to do romantic comedies. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he was like, this is your role. And I was
uh-huh.
like, what? Okay, I can't say no, Lord, because that's an oxymoron. And the Bible says that the sheep will know him by his voice. I mean, I knew it was the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I can't say no, Lord, but why? Because when Teresa came on the scene, this is a girl who is having sex all the time in every single one-night stand. She's
mm-hmm.
a cocaine addict. She's half naked half the time, all of this. And I'm like, Lord, like, I everyone knows as a Christian, like, I just played Queen Esther in a movie. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, how do I justify this as a Christian? Like, okay, I'm not saying no, Lord, but you have some explaining to do, Holy Spirit, because I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, like, so crystal clear, and it's so good, he said, because I died for the Teresas of this world. Like, mm. that is the very condition that the world was in when I died for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you are my mouthpiece, and you're not afraid to, like, speak my name. And I need the audience to know that when they relate to Teresa, they are not beyond redemption.
Mm.
Like, they have not fallen out of my grace, and they have not fallen out of a place where I can completely turn her life around. And I was so convicted by it, and I was like, oh, man, okay, wow, okay, Lord, well, then I don't know how I'm going to explain this in interviews other than, like, giving your answer. So, like,
mm-hmm.
let that be enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been amazing how many people have come to the Lord because of Teresa. And probably I will say, because he also told me as a Christian, yes, she's having one-night stands and she's promiscuous, but you as an actress have the opportunity that when that guy leaves, you get to play the unscripted silence. And the unscripted silence is that void that's
mm.
still there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you see this guilt wash over her that's like, well, that didn't fill me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm still empty, so I guess I'm turning to drugs now, and that's not filling me. And what happened was, as an actress, I was able to force the writer's hand in some ways.
Uh-huh.
Because now they have to tell that story.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. Okay, well, what is going to bring her fulfillment? And by the time I left, Teresa becomes this selfless, amazing individual who they built a church set.
Really?
Like, and soaps do not have a budget.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you, soap operas, you are lucky when you get coffee and tea in the morning. Because they do not have a budget. We don't have craft services.
Yeah.
There is no budget in mm-hmm. soaps. And they built a church set. The girl goes in, and she prays to Jesus.
Hmm.
And it's just like, I can't do this without you. I didn't know where else to turn. I know I'm not a model citizen, but I don't know what else to do. And it's so amazing. So I will say, doing movies like Hallmark is amazing,
mm-hmm.
but every role that I pray, and I turn down a lot of roles that are promiscuous or whatever. Like, I'm not going to do nudity unless it's a Holocaust movie. Me and the Holy Spirit have decided that if for some reason they're going to hire me for that, yeah, I'll walk to the gas chambers naked
mm-hmm.
because nobody's lusting after you in that moment. And
yeah.
if they are, like, God help them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's movie by movie, and it's script by script, and it's prayer by prayer. But, yes, it is so nice to do a Hallmark movie because it's just they're so good, and they're so uplifting, and it's just so nice to know that, like, there's literally, like, in your contract with Hallmark, it says, like, you will not do nudity. And I'm like, fantastic! I know I won't. You know, like, it's so great.
You don't
so,
have to haggle yeah. over that.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's so great. So, but I will say, I do things role by role, and I just follow what the Spirit is saying and back it up by Scripture, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Jen Lilly. Her website is jenlilly.com, and that's spelled L-I-L-L-E-Y, jenlilly.com. We've just been talking about her role as Teresa Donovan on Days of Our Lives. And listening to you today and reading about you beforehand, you remind me of somebody else I've met and interviewed a few times. Maybe you've crossed paths with him, an actor, Jonathan Jackson. He was on General Hospital.
Yes.
Yeah, you know Jonathan. Okay.
Okay. Jonathan Jackson had a part in, I don't know if he knows this or not, but he does have a part in me playing Teresa. Because
really?
One of the things he said, yes, because we worked together on General Hospital.
Okay.
And we were really into a lot of the same, like, speakers and ministers that we listen to on podcasts and stuff. And so he had my husband and I over for dinner with him and his lovely wife and children. And he said to me, and I think about it every time, he said, you know, when I'm deciding what roles to do, I always ask myself, is this doing more good than harm?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go from there. Like,
okay.
Is this character redeemable? Like, I turned down a movie script last week. I turned down two because I read the script and it's like, well, yeah, she's having premarital sex, but, like, it's filling her, and it's just showing, it's like, the message of the movie is, hey, if you're good in bed, he'll marry you. And it's like, hey, that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
just setting girls up to get hurt. Like, that's a ridiculous message. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
No, I can't do this movie. You know?
Yeah, yeah, sure. And Jonathan helped you see that, take that approach to your career.
Yeah, and I love it.
It's yeah.
So great. He's so fantastic, and he's just, man, he's the real deal, for sure.
Absolutely, and we're almost out of time, but I want to get this one question into you, just because, you know, everything we do at the Christophers reflects this ideal that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness, and even if you've never heard that phrase, it seems your life reflects it, so just tell me a little bit about how you think, how you approach this idea of lighting a candle in the darkness.
Well, when you light a candle in the darkness, light wins because light can't deny itself.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit, darkness scatters. It's never, ever, ever, ever the other way around. And so when light goes into the darkness, it shines. And the darker the darkness, the brighter the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a stadium, we've heard this analogy, but for those of you who have not, you're in a stadium and one candle is lit, you see that candle better than if you're in a stadium and there's 100 candles lit.
Mm-hmm.
You might not perceive that one light as much. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is that the devil has already been defeated. Christ
mm-hmm.
defeated him on the cross when he rose again, right? And the Lord, the Heavenly Father, played him like a pawn. He's like, great, you came to kill, steal, and destroy, so I'm going to play into that. I'm going to have you crucify my son that was established before the foundations of the world. God already knew that he was going to do that. There's lots of scriptures. That one's in Revelation. There's scriptures in Genesis that talks about, you know, the stars and the heavens crying out and all of that. God already slayed Jesus before the foundation of the world in his wisdom. And so, you know, we are not to be afraid of the enemy. We are put in Christ, and that means that we're not fighting this battle on our behalf, but in his name. So absolutely, why be afraid of the darkness ever?
Right.
It's already been defeated.
Absolutely. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I've been talking to Jen Lilly. Again, her website is jenlilly.com. As you can tell today, Jen is a dynamo. She does a lot for children's causes, for Child Help USA. Their website is childhelp.org. It's a really worthy charity that you can get involved with, and Jen knows because she's done extensive research on it. She even requested their tax returns, which I just love that part of your story. But Jen is the real deal. She's living out her faith, trying to bring positive messages in popular culture, stories that are uplifting, stories of redemption, even to characters that seem irredeemable. So check out Jen on the Hallmark Channel. Her movie is called Harvest Love. And Jen, thanks so much for sharing your faith, your life. And I think I'll have to have you on again because we probably could have talked for another half hour.
I know. I'm so sorry. But hopefully, everybody got it and it motivates them to do something. It's so nice speaking to you. I love that you know Jonathan Jackson. He's such a gem. And we'll have to talk again anytime.
Thanks, Jen. Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
While the media often focuses on the dark side of humanity, the Christophers believe in highlighting individuals who reflect our motto, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." By doing so, we hope to inspire others to be Christophers, or Christ-bearers, in their own lives. That's why we've prepared a news note called Stories of Modern-Day Christ-Bearers. You'll be able to read about people who've brought God's love, mercy, and truth to those around them. And maybe these stories will get you thinking about how you can do the same. To request your free copy of Stories of Modern Day Christ Bearers, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.